Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Timothy, are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
We're all ready. Fantastic.
Hello, Egg Chasers. This is the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast, the podcast about rugby that doesn't take itself or the game too seriously. We're just here in the rugby dungeon on another scorching hot Sunday afternoon, but we're indoors, below ground level, in the dark with no natural light and lights making it exceedingly hot.
Yeah, lights and a heavily insulated room below the ground. It's a perfect combination for a summer's day.
Oh, beautiful. Nowhere I'd rather be, actually.
How's tricks, JB?
Very, very good. A little bit nervous today, actually.
Yeah. So we're not that it matters when we're recording the podcast, but we are recording it a little earlier than normal, just to intensify the summer sunshine that we're not currently out basking in, but JB has asked us to move it a bit earlier today because he's got his stand-up comedy debut.
In back-to-back nights tonight and tomorrow night. So,
is that because
different nights?
Oh, different nights. Oh, I see.
So what I've decided to do is, if I really fail tonight, and then I've got to really dig deep and man up again and do it tomorrow night.
That'll be fun for you. So, is it Beat the Frog?
Similar, yeah, beat the gong, beat the frog, you've got 5 minutes, you've got to stay on there.
Yeah,
you have a maximum of 5 minutes.
I fully expect to win.
To win. Are there winners and losers?
Yeah,
if you get 5 minutes.
You get 5 minutes, you get through this end round and they sort of cheer who they think wins. I'm confident I'll win. I'll definitely get my 5 minutes in. Have you seen some of the losers?
Does Jeremy Corbyn feature?
He does. I've got a few.
All right. Well, we can have a breakdown of that. But there's rugby to talk about this weekend. On this podcast, we're going to be talking about the finale of the top 14. We're going to be talking about the spectacle in Washington DC. Well, the game in Washington DC.
There was a game
between Wales and South Africa. There's some other rugby news going on. We're looking ahead to next weekend's off-season internationals, including England against South Africa and anything else in between. So don't forget, you can find us on all the social media places. Tell your mates. This, the off-season, we're, I think, the only podcast, I think I'm right in saying, that is here for you 52 weeks a year.
I think Flats and Shanks closed down last week.
Yeah, exactly.
For summer, I think.
For that point, I don't even think they deserve a name check.
Yeah, exactly.
We just gave them.
Yeah.
For that fact. But there you go. So we're here with you all summer long because we love rugby that much, and there's always something to talk about. I don't know where you. What's the biggest? Well, let's round up some of the stories around the game. As we talked about before, Joey Carberry's off to Munster.
He is
strong.
Yep, that is good.
You thought he was going to come to Ulster, didn't you?
I was kind of hoping he would do. Ulster have obviously got the very talented and high potential Johnny McPhillips.
I love this. I love
but,
it. So, Johnny McPhillips was nobody, really, until somebody got done for something, or didn't get done for something, and, whatever happened there. But it kind of proves my point over and over again. Just give them game time and you'll be fine.
Yes, but you can't go into a professional season, a 30-plus game professional season, with one fly half.
Agreed. You can't go in with one. I mean, that is undisputed.
Especially not when who would be your backup, a versatile centre that can also play 10, also got involved in some shenanigans and is no longer available.
But, I mean, if Johnny McPhillips is the lesson, surely what you need to do is find another 10 who's just as young.
Well, for the national team, they're not bothered. I mean, Phil's Pride Ulstermen could have a tough time of it, but for the national team, it's great because Byrne will get more game time, and he looks the real deal. They've got Carberry coming. I think it's great. Yeah.
Doesn't Cooney play 10?
He can play a little bit.
He can.
Well, he was 10 when Adrian McGuinty was 9 in the Irish setup.
Yeah, he can play a little bit of 10, but he's not. He's not like a Ruan Pienaar.
Getting into the minutiae of Ulster's yeah. depth chart at 10 is what I was.
I'm going to try and link the stories here for you. I was watching a very unhappy Ruan Pienaar last night, thinking, surely that's the answer. Is it not?
IRFU wouldn't let us.
Yeah, but maybe they'll let him bring you. Maybe they'll
bring him as a 10.
Yeah.
There's
bring him back.
There has been rumours of him potentially coming back at some point before his career is done, because he loves the place. Looks like Steve Diamond might have been actually saying it how it is when he said there's definitely no chance Paddy Jackson is coming to Sale Sharks. It looks like he's off. I don't know. This talk now, he's going to Perpignan.
Mm. Is there?
Yeah. So there's top 14 clubs.
Well, they will be spending sort of big, I guess, because they've just been promoted.
Yeah.
Good to see him back as well.
Yeah.
I love their kits.
Elsewhere, this was. I love these stories. Two from New Zealand. How did they put it? Antics, hijinks, and I think shenanigans might have even been a word that was used in the articles to describe both what Rico Ioane and Jordy Barrett have been up to.
Amazing. So I'm going to interject here just before you carry on with the story, because I've got my own little story about the All Blacks, which is on my WhatsApp group for my rugby team. People were talking about, you've seen this Netflix or
Amazon Prime.
Have you watched it?
Documentary. I've not watched it, no.
I'm looking forward to it.
I intend to.
And I want to see if they mention Julian Surveyor's domestic abuse.
Jerome Kano.
Jerome Kano. I want to see if it goes back as far as Zach Guilford showing up on an island naked and drunk.
Aaron Smith in an airport.
I think it might have been a Tongan player, but the...
Which one was this?
Do you remember that story you said about someone keeping someone against their will?
Modern slavery charges.
One of the Macca brothers.
Macca's, yeah.
A modern day slavery case. That was in France. But I mean, I guess the point is, I wonder if we'll talk about moving luggage and sweeping changing rooms, or if it'll be...
The real story. Yeah.
Will it be about the off-field antics? That's how it was described when Rico Ioane had to be treated for quite a severely cut eye, or just above his eye, after some off-field antics after a Blues game. They were having a private get-together after their...
Private get-together.
Yeah, 2010 loss.
What kind of get-together is there?
I want to know what counts as hijinks and antics and stuff in rugby in 2018, because basically he's had a few beers and he's just got a cut eye.
Yeah, that for me... Well, both of these are non-stories.
I hope it is drink related and not like someone threw a PlayStation remote when they were playing Fortnite in their hotel room.
The problem is, it's about 50-50 chance now. We're so out of touch with our passe views that we like to have a drink. Actually, we should be on a PlayStation.
Yeah. Well, have you seen any of the Instagram or social media posts from the England team?
It's all Xbox.
It's all Fortnite. All these boys seem to do is play Fortnite. They land and they've got the travel cases with a flip-up screen and whatever it is, an Xbox One or a PS4, and they're playing it in the hotel lobby, in the lounge, in coffee shops.
It's kind of like Call of Duty style, Hunger Games sort of thing.
But amazing.
It's with like added dances.
Cartoony graphics and maps that continually shrink. I've never played it, so I don't know very much about it.
Wow. No.
My lad plays it, so... There you go.
I've
watched him play.
He's 12, isn't he?
He's 10.
He's 10.
Right, Jordy Barrett, though, he's definitely did involve drinks. So he was on his way to the All Blacks camp in Auckland. Not literally on his way. He wasn't driving there when this happened. He was out for a few drinks. And at...
High drinks.
At 5 a.m. was still out with a mate. And they bought themselves a McDonald's and wanted to go and eat it. And they went to a house... where they were let themselves into a house that was unlocked, where their mates had been hosting a party, or so they thought, because actually they were sat in the living room eating the McDonald's when the two women who lived in the flat came in to the living room and asked them what the hell they were doing in their place.
Oh, so when I was back in Bristol in university, a good friend of mine who later became captain of the Hong Kong rugby club, he decided to go home, and I don't know how he got mixed up. But he let himself into a house, and this house belonged to some pensioner. He slept underneath his table in the kitchen and was woken up by the pensioner's son.
Oh my god.
Yeah, he then had to remove him. So this is actually the first time I've heard of this.
Yeah, I think we've all heard stories of this kind of thing happening.
Yeah, I remember being with him when he had to go. Well, I remember seeing him the morning after, and he went to buy flowers to say sorry to him.
Do you want to hear Geordie Barrett? What he had to say for himself? It's amazing that the media. I would love this to be a story on the news in England. This would be like, you know, Raheem Sterling's been in the news with his tattoo. This would be like an England footballer in New Zealand, wouldn't it?
Firstly, I'm a little bit disappointed and embarrassed by what's unfolded now. And I apologise to the people who were disturbed. Basically, I'm not going to go into full detail, but had a few drinks with mates in town, got a feed.
Given
police have dropped it, do you think you've done anything wrong? Basically, from my end and Sam's end as well, we made a human error. We went into the wrong flat. Basically, that's all it is.
Human error.
It wasn't, so left.
Is he a pilot?
No. Human error is where you're like talking about, pilots or doctors, like surgeon errors.
Oh, I'm an accountant. I was £1,000 out on the end of month accounts.
Human error.
So here's what I hate about the All Blacks at the moment, right? Is it's just a whole PR stunt. I mean, they're all just normal humans.
Yeah.
And they're normal humans with an enormous amount of testosterone. So they get, they get into the correlated trouble, which such people would get into. Now, would it not be better for him, instead of going through a media training process, to say stupid things like human error, and now we all hate him? And then, instead of say, it was an accident, get over it, I was drunk. I mean, yeah. I would so much appreciate that.
Yeah, if he just said to a reporter, "Have you ever made a mistake when you were out having a few that didn't cause anyone any harm?"
Yeah, look, I'm massively successful, massively talented, pumped full of testosterone, and I was drunk.
And I can
occasionally we make mistakes.
Exactly. That's what I want him to say is, it's a non-story, as you said.
And also, most reporters are complete beta males anyway, so they don't have a clue what real life is like.
Most.
Oh, particularly in the written press, you've never seen anything like it.
Yeah, non-story. He should apologise to the two women he disturbed and interrupted.
Send them some flowers.
Yeah, absolutely. Fine. You don't need to do it in the media.
How many times are they going to dine out on that story?
Yeah.
Oh, you see him on the... Yeah, when Geordie Barrett's lifting the World Cup. Yeah, he ate McDonald's in my living room at 5 a.m.
I can see this being through. Oh, Geordie Barrett, the man that thinks it's perfectly acceptable to invade a female space. I don't think I'll be taking... penalty kicking lessons from him. Idiot.
Misogyny right there.
Yeah.
The
he was so entitled. He walked in
male privilege. Like he strolled in like he owned it.
Unbelievable.
I don't know. There's many more stories around. Those were some.
There's Joel and Sam Tompkins. No, they were in the wrong.
Oh yes. Here we go. Here is a combination of rugby players, one of whom was a rugby union international. Booze, lots and lots of booze by the look of it.
Yes.
And them genuinely being completely in the wrong. And any apology that they make, which I've not yet seen, is fully legitimate and they should be making.
And there was a lot of human error that went on here. the problem with this, right, is... One, it's a terrible pub. It looks like a beef eater or something. It looks like
on the outskirts of Wigan.
Yeah, it looks like something you'd find like in a shopping, not a shopping centre, but like an out of town kind of
retail park. Yeah,
it looks awful.
You go there before you go and watch the movie.
Yeah, exactly.
At the Odeon.
And then there's this is the bigger problem, but this is an actual problem. Problem being a rugby player, particularly being a professional rugby player. Is that you are massive, and in the case of Joel Tompkins, rather intimidating. And there's only two women behind the bar. I'm actually surprised he didn't get arrested for that.
Yeah, he was very aggressive.
Very massive.
Yeah, some unwanted physical contact.
Yeah.
And horrendously drunk.
Yeah.
Well, that is not a good look. In the All Blacks case, let the boys play, a bit of shenanigans.
Yeah.
In this case... have a look at yourself, boys. There is a definite line, a boundary between them, and Joel Tomkins and Sam Tomkins were way over the wrong side of it.
Correct. Absolutely correct.
Well, let's talk about the conversion of millions of that 370 million population of the USA now all clamouring to watch rugby union after the incredible spectacle that Wales and South Africa put on in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, well, it started poorly, didn't it? The Welsh Male Voice Choir, I don't know where they found them, and they didn't do them any favours either, because when they were singing the anthem, two of the worst anthems I've ever
heard. That was two of the worst anthems ever, yeah. I think it was a conspiracy by the NFL, just to try and kill rugby at source.
Oh, no, I think it's deeper than that. I think it's a conspiracy by the home nations to make sure they never lose a World Cup to the United States. That's what I think.
Yeah.
Mission is a massive success.
Yeah, there's so much to talk about that wasn't even part of the really dull action on the field. Like you said, the terrible anthems, then it was awful. I mean, I felt really sorry for the guys from Channel 4, because clearly there would have been elements that they weren't in control of. They were just taking the pictures,
the feed from the
host broadcaster in America, which was bad. The sound was awful. The ref had like an underwater mic on or something, I don't know. The camera work was like the work of a sort of surrealist genius.
Well, this is the problem. The camera work. So when we've watched rugby over in the USA, it's local cameramen who are used to either NBA or NFL or whatever, like college game type stuff. So they simply don't know.
So they just leave it on. There was one, camera one, right? So the way it's referred to is camera one is the one that's the big wide shot that you see most of the field. That's camera one. And that just has one set shot the whole time. And America, but they just go, camera one. Stay on camera one. Oh, they had one camera that was following the ball.
Yeah. Really, really zoomed in so you could just see like 2 yards around the ball, which showed you nothing of what's happening.
I do have some sympathy for him, right, which is when I went to watch my first ever high-level game, it was Japan versus Samoa in Wrexham, World Cup in Wales. And I remember watching this game live and not having a clue where the ball was. Like, literally, I'd be watching a ruck, and then all of a sudden there'd be Japanese players.
Absolutely.
If you've never seen the game before, it is actually really difficult.
Yeah.
And if you're a sports cameraman and you're used to NBA, I mean, you know what's happening. You can see the ball at all times. Rugby's a bit weird in that. Sometimes the ball can go completely missing. And you've got to sort of know the game to know where it's going to be next.
And when the ball goes missing like that, where the ball is or was is often not the most important, because there's so much action in terms of people lining up both offensively and defensively. So you don't want to be focusing just on a cluster of players in a ruck. You want to be seeing the bigger picture.
I mean, if you get a turnover in a ruck, and then the team that turns it over immediately box kicks it away, which is quite common because it's out of position.
Yeah.
Was there any box kicking in that game? I didn't notice. Box kick, knock on, scrum.
Yeah.
Scrum reset, box kick, knock on, scrum.
So
repeat.
Here's a question, maybe more for Tim. But Channel 4... the so-called bad boy of broadcasting, right? They want to spice up rugby union coverage. And their Twitter feed was quite interesting. You know,
it
was all right. Why in that case do you bring in Eddie Butler, do you bring in Ugo Monier, Shane Williams, and...
Tina
Stelport. I mean, they are all... Not only that, they're all backs. So the scrimmaging was quite a complex... quite complex reasons for it going down, which only a prop would understand. I love watching Ugo, but I think he's a main man rather than a pundit. And then you've got Shane and Tinas, and they all covered the same areas. They didn't have a clue what was going on.
Not certainly not a scrum time.
Yeah.
I think Shane Williams, he gets better and better all the time for me as a pundit. I think I really like him. I think Ugo's great. The Eddie Butler, I think they're... Sorry.
Yes.
Damn it.
Tim.
The thing I enjoyed most about Eddie Butler was the tender story
That
was awful.
Elton Yantys.
Like, he didn't even relate it to the rugby. Yeah. He just said Elton Yantys' dad died by a bee sting.
Yeah, so what was the implication there? That is... You know, that his dad wasn't very tough. I mean,
if he'd have said, "Oh, Elton Yanchi's does that little signal every time he kicks a conversion.
Because of his dad.
Because of his dad, who blah, blah, blah. He just, there was no relation to the rugby. It was just, so I'm looking forward to, or maybe not looking forward to, I'm wondering if this is a new thing of players' relative death facts.
Yeah, yeah. Here he is, Bismarck Stain. Wife died in childbirth. I mean, like, it's just so inappropriate. What a lovely anecdote. 2000, when was it, 2010 or something?
At least Elton Yanchi's hair wasn't the worst thing about the game.
No. Let's talk about the game, actually, because I think it's getting a lot of hard, a lot of bad press.
Yeah.
And actually, the last 50 minutes were pretty good.
Last 50 or 15?
50.
Right, okay, because I must admit, I only got 30, 35 minutes in, and I was falling asleep. The stoppages were so long that I couldn't watch any more of it, so I stopped then. So can you talk me through what happened? Because it ended up being a tight game.
Yeah, so Steph Evans goes off. I think it all starts there, really. So if you look at the two teams, I actually thought they were two exciting teams. I thought Wales, in particular, were very exciting. I liked their back row. I thought their back row was probably one of the more promising back rows that I've seen in a long time. Then out wide, you got Steph Evans, who is an amazing player. But just things weren't going right. Far too many errors, so on and so forth.
Yep.
Steph Evans goes down, on comes Mr. Reliable, Hadley Parks. And I don't think it's a coincidence, actually. As soon as he came on,
he changed the game.
Yeah, things started to happen because there just weren't quite so many errors.
Hadley Parks saved rugby.
Pretty much. Wales score almost immediately in the corner from a turnover. And where was the second try? I don't even remember the second try happening, though.
No. I was like Phil. I was just glazed over and wasn't really.
It was the second try.
Thomas Williams.
Oh, that's right. He's quite good actually. I quite like him. I think we'll see a lot more of him going forward, particularly with Reece Webb disappearing to France. So yeah, he was pretty promising.
I like the fact that you only have 15 men on a team, and yet Wales managed to butcher a 27 man overlap.
Oh my God, they dropped, didn't they? That was horrendous. I also thought it was weird that they'd played George North at 13. I mean, he's got 73 caps now, so like 200 senior appearances at club level. He's never really played 13. If you could play 13, we would know about it.
Yeah.
It would have been discovered.
Yeah, because he's certainly big enough to play in the centres. Mm. Does he have the all-round skills?
Not even close for me.
No.
I mean, it's not even debatable. So when Hadley Parks comes on, George North shifts onto the wing. It all sort of gets a little bit better. And then the Springboks fights gallantly to come back into it. They do.
And throw it away.
Their debutants. Was he a fly off? The guy that came on.
Oh, I can't remember.
He gets charged down not once but twice.
I was like, Phil, I wasn't. I was at a birthday party anyway, so I was kind of had to steal myself away and just. I watched highlights and stuff, but I can't remember.
No, actually, the game, last 50 minutes, was okay. Unless I was so numbed by the first 30 minutes, it felt
that
okay.
Anything would have looked okay.
Yeah.
Watching Broughton Park women's team would have looked okay at that stage.
And the disappointing thing is, and I know we've sort of joked about it, but America could be a huge part of the growth of rugby union, mm-hmm. and hopefully it will be. And there was one shot which I thought captured sort of. There was one shot of a kid who's gone there who looks so confused. They just focused on this kid. He had the most confused face, like, screwed up. What's going on? And that's my concern. Anyone who's like, oh, let's go and check this out.
I've got to say, I think the Barbarians are a better choice.
Quite.
I was hoping, when I saw, like you said, quite an attacking lineup from Wales and some attacking talent of the ones that I knew in that South Africa team. I was hoping for something like the Barbarians England game.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we did not get anything like that.
I mean, be fair, 5 tries were scored.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't a complete washout.
No one really wanted to be there. I mean, the South Africans were pretty honest and saying, look, we're just doing this for cash.
Yeah.
He pretty much said that.
Fair play.
It felt like that Razzie Erasmus thought, right, we've got England next week, so we need to just get in, we'll do 50 reset scrums, and then get out.
Yeah. I also asked myself, who is this game for? Is it for, like, Welsh expats who have travelled from all over the United States to get there? Or is it for the Americans? 20,000 showing up doesn't feel like it was really for the Americans. It was more for, you know, people who'd moved overseas. That's a bigger problem. Which is why the Barbarians would probably be a better choice, because they appeal to so many more people than the tiny nation of Wales.
Mm-hmm. Barbarians versus USA could be a great game.
Yeah, yeah. Pack the... Mind you, look what the Barbarians did to England. You know, that team against the USA could be brutal.
Yeah, it could be. It could be 70.
And America would get that. But the Harlem Globetrotters weren't a proper team. They were just tricks and stuff.
Yeah.
But they might get the concept.
So they're like Barbarians against... Pacific nations, that could be the game.
Mm. Yeah.
Really could be a good game.
You've got to hold it in the right location, though.
Yeah.
And from our experiences in the US, it is difficult to get the right location.
So big.
Exactly. It's just so big. And the rugby is always a very small percentage of any fan base. So, like, let's just pick a number out there. 1% of people in New York like rugby. But they're so kind of spread out.
Yeah. Well, the other thing as well is, do you remember when the All Blacks played their first time round, which we went to? The All Blacks they were doing a tour of NBA stadiums. I mean, obviously they are the biggest names on the planet when it comes to rugby. Yeah. But that felt to me like it was done right.
But they've also got heavy links with Adidas, who have heavy links with American sport.
And AIG.
Yeah, AIG
Whereas,
as well.
Whereas, I'm not sure what kind of pulling power Zanussi has over there, or whoever sponsors the Springboks. So, just not really the same thing. They need to rethink it. Also, I find it very hypocritical on the part of Premier Rugby, an organisation that I like a lot, saying this game shouldn't happen. It's outside the test window, holding back people like Josh Adams after England have played the Barbarians. Come on, boys.
Yeah,
just strikes me as petty.
Yeah, I agree with that. If it's mid season, fine. But this is not mid-season. There's no reason why Worcester need to hold on to Josh Adams for another week.
Exactly. No point at all.
There was another game.
There was. Can I just make a point? Because I've just noticed Ireland are currently playing South Africa in the World Cup under-20s. Look at the kit. Look at the kits. Ireland have got dark grey with green detail.
Right. I can't see that.
South Africa have got dark green, and they've both got...
White shorts.
White shorts and... dark socks. You cannot tell. That's an absolute...
I don't know why they do it.
The only real difference is if you're stood behind one of the South African players, because they've got that little
flash of yellow.
Sunrise yellow thing on the back.
Oh, yeah, it's ridiculous.
Going to the dogs.
It would make... Because I'd be quite... I'm not going to bother watching that game later. But it's worth saying, under-20s World Cup's all on the... And New Zealand's playing Wales currently as well. England playing Italy, and Marcus Smith is playing.
Is he?
Wow. Yeah.
Marcus Smith, who came off the bench in the first game.
And scored off, is it Gabriel Ibatoya's?
What's his name? Olafua?
Olafuela.
Something like that.
Yeah, good.
Who scored two tries himself and set up. He looked very, very good. It wasn't Ibatoya.
Is he Leicester?
I want to say yes. There was a piece.
Yes, he is.
There was a piece in BBC on him because his twin brother has played sevens. Yeah,
interesting.
Yes,
but yes, there was a game which I thought had plenty of excitement. What did you think? The top 14 final.
Well, I've got a lot of stuff to say about this, but I'm going to tell you after you tell us about Cornerstone.
Cornerstone, yes. Treat yourself to the best shave of your life.
Mm-hmm.
If that was certainly the case for us, and we think it will be for you, and because you listen to Egg Chasers, you could get an absolute steal on trying out Cornerstone for less than the cost of one pint because you listen to us. So it's the original one of these mail order razor companies. There's loads of tried to come along and nick what they do, but not as good. With Cornerstone, you get 6 precision engineered award winning razors in a cartridge in a presentation box delivered to your door. And you get a weighty, heavy aluminium shaft engraved with your initials. None of this plastic nonsense. £4. With no obligation. We think, although, you'll want to carry on and do it the Cornerstone way and not fart around with those ones in supermarket aisles anymore. So, cornerstone.co.uk/eggchasers. That's cornerstone.co.uk/eggchasers. Or
Egg Tent at checkout.
Cast our top 14 champions.
Again?
Yeah.
They won... 3-4 years ago?
Yeah, three finals in 6 years, which they're kind of the unlikeliest of champions. They finished sixth in the league table, then casually just beat the third place, second place, and then first place teams to win.
So they beat, was it Toulouse, then Racing, European Champions Cup finalists, yeah. Racing, and then Montpellier, who had been top of the table and the dominant force in France.
Now, amazing, isn't it?
I loved this game. I enjoyed it so much because I do love an underdog story, and Cass going into this were heavy, heavy underdogs.
12-point underdogs, I think.
Yeah.
And I love the underdog story. I loved the way they played. They played with so much passion, so much energy, and the heroic nature of their defence was incredible. Yeah, I loved how they were making big hit after big hit, forcing turnovers, dragging men into touch, and they were whooping and hollering after they did it. They were slapping each other on the arse, high-fiving. It meant so, so much to them. It was a tremendous performance.
It was impressive. I do appreciate all the things that you mentioned. I mean, there was one passage of play, and actually, Montpellier scored from it. Or did they? Did they score from it? Yeah, but it resulted in a penalty try from a scrum, right? And they were just continually offside. I thought there's four yellow cards. On the other hand, it was magnificent to watch because Montpellier would get as close as, say, an inch from the line, yeah, and then they'd be repelled again.
Yeah.
But they were all offside. And I think, actually, if I was Montpellier, I'd be very upset because they gave the penalty try, which should have been a penalty try and a yellow card in my mind there.
Well, so the specific passage of play you refer to, there was a yellow card in that passage of play.
Mm.
So you're right, they were repeatedly offside, but Garces had already signalled, I think it was collapsing a line-out, collapsing a mall from a line-out, and then Montpellier had phase after phase. They already had the penalty, there was another penalty signalled for offside, then another penalty signalled for offside.
Yeah. So he should go, the next guy should go.
Well, do you... there were multiple penalties for that. But I loved the intensity of Cass. Because they almost said, well, we've already given the penalty away, so we might as well just keep on giving penalties away. Yeah. Unless Cass is going to do anything different.
Well, I mean, there is good logic to that, isn't there? Unless he blows up and says, right, you're yellowed.
Yeah. Unless he stops and says, you're yellowed, then you've got to be on your best behaviour again.
Yeah. And I think I'd feel a little bit... because I'd reset the scrum. I'd have tried to get another yellow card or a pushover try or a penalty try.
So,
I want at least two cards from that passage of play.
The penalty try came from a scrum. So immediately following all that, Montpellier took the scrum and just completely blew cast off the ball.
Yeah.
And that gave the penalty try. I wouldn't have given a second yellow there because I think two yellows and a penalty try for one passage of play is a bit harsh. You're aligned with, I think it was Andy Goody who was commentating. He was like, that should be a yellow card. But
yeah, completely.
We've spoken before about the kind of double penalty. And that would be a triple penalty.
It depends, isn't it? If, I wouldn't have given the penalty try. If I was the captain, or I had the choice of do I have the penalty try or do I get the yellow card and scrum again, I would have the yellow card and scrum again and I'd take the next yellow card.
Just keep going for yellow cards.
But I guess the problem is, as a referee, and anyone in the sport, you need at some point to say, hang on a minute, we can't just keep carry on giving, there's got to be a pressure valve to stop this.
Well, the pressure valve would, in that scenario, I assume, would come when there are no more props.
Yeah.
Well, there are no more props, so you go uncontested scrums.
And drop a player.
Yes, and drop another player. So you'll end up down to, 12 men, if that happens.
Yeah, which is kind of that's the whole point of pressure, isn't it? That's the whole point of what you're trying to do.
When you looked at the Montpellier side, it was phenomenal, but that team of... Was this a case of a team of mercenaries losing to a load of French talent?
I'd say the mercenaries tag is probably fair in some respects. I mean, they are there for the money. Make no bones about that. But they're a good team.
They're a good team.
And the way that cast... So Montpellier were getting criticised in commentary during the game, which was almost unfair on cast because their defence and their line speed was so good and so committed. They didn't give Montpellier any options.
Yeah, so I would... Yeah, I see what you're saying. So I was going to say, basically, not the opposite, but how I perceived it is not from the line speed, but Montpellier's lack of creativity. As soon as they got the ball, they were hoisting it high. And I'm just thinking, you've got to have the ball
you've got to have some sort of go forward ball. You can't just carry on kicking it away. And that's exactly what they did.
They kicked some of it away. I think where they got stopped. So from what I've seen of Montpellier in both Europe and France, they have got the most enormous team, but the most enormous pack. And they'll get a few players rumbling it forward to create front football, and then they can spread it.
Mm.
The problem was they weren't getting that front foot ball because the players were just getting stopped right on the gain line.
It's like Exeter against Saracens. Yeah.
It's like Exeter against Montpellier. It's what Exeter did to Montpellier. It's what Leinster did to Montpellier. And if you stop them from getting that initial front foot ball, they can't use their creative back. So they did, you're right, in terms of lack of creativity. Then they ran out of ideas and then they started kicking it away.
Your man did not have a great game, did he, Pienaar?
Pienaar didn't have a great game. And Cruden didn't have a great game.
King Louis crying at the end of the game as well. Yeah. Sad, sad sight.
I was going to mention it.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Because to me, he's a really good bellwether of how the team are going. If he's not on the front foot, he's not particularly good going backwards, not that many eights are.
No.
But it's a very good indication of where the team is at and what's going to happen next.
Mm. Well, he was one of the few players. Only two Montpellier players made more than 10 metres.
No.
Made double-figure metres.
Him and Demarou?
Dumoulin.
Who?
Dumoulin.
Dumoulin.
The 12.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that the other guy?
Yes.
He's very good.
My favourite bit was Garces getting flattened.
Yeah.
To be fair to him, he bounced straight back up again.
And awarded a try. Yeah.
And also, I want to just, again, because there's been lots of talk of English coaches in France. Joe Worsley at Bordeaux and Rory Teague was a head coach at, I forget the team. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Might even be Bordeaux Bagels as well. Anyway, there's quite a lot of English coaches that are being taken over to France. One man that's been there since his playing career finished, and he's been third season now at Cast as the one, the right-hand man of Christophe Urius. Is Joël Abt, former
Bristol,
and former Oyonnax and Toulon.
And Toulon, yeah.
He was a real, I think, a real one to watch as a coach.
Interesting.
I know the guy, and
is this the guy that was so cautious about what he ate, he wouldn't eat fried eggs?
Yeah. I organised a team breakfast before a big university match, and I'd organised poached eggs, and they only sorted out, they only had fried eggs, so he went home, because he was that meticulous. But that's the mark of the man, and he's the only person I know that had a punch-up every single time we played touch rugby as a warm-up.
Wow.
It would never just be touch rugby. He's the most competitive, most strict and what's the word, conscientious man I've ever known. So he's clearly doing great things at Cast as well, so one to watch in terms of English coaching.
I was very, very impressed with that Cast team. I thought it was an exceptional performance. I loved the game.
I would say this though, watching top 14, there's a lot of endeavour, a lot of size, a lot of collisions. I wasn't impressed with any of the attacking play.
No.
There was nothing, like you look at the lines of running in the Premiership and the Rugby League influences that have come in over on this side, and you see even more in the Pro 14, the ambition that they play with. And I didn't see any ambition from either of these teams whatsoever.
So, it is a final.
It's a final, and we saw that in Europe, Premiership, it tightened up, didn't it? Semi-finals, finals.
It does tighten
this
up.
What happens.
Mm.
The last...
It's like a heavyweight fight.
The last Cast try, though, where they broke from their own 22, went down the right wing, shipped it left, the replacement hooker almost scorched in, and Steve Maffey eventually crashed over. That was brilliant. That was a try worthy of winning a final.
So well done, Cast.
Yes.
Have you seen any of the under-20s World Cup?
No.
I've seen highlights only.
I've just noticed there's highlights on ITV4 most nights.
Oh, is there?
Yeah, which I didn't clock till just now when I was.
Yeah, so, it's all available on World Rugby's website, on their Facebook page. They're tweeting a load of it. I've seen all the highlights. I'll tell you, one of the teams who are playing some good rugby, the Georgian team, they scored a couple of cracking tries against
a very good system there.
Against South Africa. And they were putting a lot of pressure on France as well in the game earlier today.
So the Georgian model is really interesting, actually. So they want to get as many lads in their under-20s as possible. I think that must be their capture team. We'll get them into senior rugby.
Under-20s aren't capture teams anymore.
Oh, is that right?
They've changed that.
So
it's currently 10-10 between New Zealand and Wales.
Hang on, so can it only be an A team?
Yeah.
Ah,
and sevens right. Captures as well, doesn't
sevens
it?
Sevens captures, yeah.
So this is problematic for them. So what they want is to get as many players capped as possible and then ship them off.
Ship them to France or England.
The exact opposite to what Ireland and Wales and everyone else want them to do.
Hmm. Yeah. But they don't have
a... It is slightly different, don't get me wrong.
Yeah, because they don't have a professional league in Georgia.
And they've got games against Belgium that they can... Spain or whatever that they can blood these players.
I would be a little cautious before saying a game against Belgium is a foregone conclusion.
Very true. Very true. Yeah. All right.
So yes, Scotland have lost twice now, effectively putting them out of the tournament. They lost to Italy with a late try in the first round and were well beaten by Argentina. 29-13.
Have you checked it? It doesn't matter. No, nothing. Never mind. We'll talk about that later.
England? Well, England.
England have played 1-1-1. They won 21 points to 18 against... who's that against? Was that against Argentina?
It was Argentina, their first game. Yeah.
So they narrowly beat Argentina and they're ahead against Italy currently. So they look like they're progressing from Pool B. France played. What was really nice to see watching France under 20s was the offloading game that they're playing. It was like old school France. It was really great.
Did you see who was playing for France in their game against Ireland?
I didn't look at names. Who was it?
Trevor Brennan's son.
Oh yes, yeah.
The big, big second row.
He is a unit, isn't he?
Yeah, very big boy.
And Wales, New Zealand looks like it's going to be a one to watch. South Africa are beating Ireland quite comfortably. So all that's still going on.
Yeah.
And we'll keep an eye. One thing, just in Super Rugby, we got a tweet from Chris Beard saying, look, I know it was sad and it was obviously it's upsetting for the family, but what do you think about there being a minute's silence for one of the coach's mums at the Hurricanes game at the weekend?
I think it depends on the dynamic of that team, really.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Like, they'll have... Was it a home game?
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, kind of do what you want. You don't know how close they all are as a group. So,
yeah. I think if they're doing it, it's for a reason. So who are we to criticise?
Yeah. Yeah. What else is there? Billy Vunipola did his hamstring by doing AFL kicks.
Not sure this is a really... I mean... I'm not sure this is a great sign for a professional athlete who might need to kick a ball occasionally. So what? You know, it happens, I guess.
Is he? I hope he's not like a Tuilagi again, where he's sort of too strong that he just rips muscles off of bones.
I sincerely hope not. I think he'll be fine. But yeah. I actually think this year, with him being out so long, everyone thinks, oh, look at the injuries piling up. I don't see it like that. I see it as quite a lot of... A lot of rest for him.
Is he doubtful for next weekend?
I think it's touch and go.
From what I've read, they're optimistic he'll play. His hamstring's still tight, and probably being on a 15-hour flight to South Africa won't help that.
Nope.
But he'll have the best medical guys around him. They'll take it easy on his training, ease him back into it. So I suspect he'll be okay. On the kicking thing, I imagine it's just because he's not warmed up properly and his boots are ball. And tweaks his hamstring. It'll be that stupid and that simple.
Yeah. Oh, God, there's been stories of people, like, there was a... I can't remember who he was. He was a Chelsea player that was out for, like, 9 months because he dropped a bottle of salad cream on his foot.
Oh,
Paul Elliott.
Canizares, the goalkeeper.
Oh, Canizares. How did he get injured?
Champagne on the foot, obviously.
Yeah. And Someone like got out of bed and then had a 9-month ACL reconstruction or something from just getting out of bed.
Who is he?
Ed Slater, who was in the Ruby Dungeon this week.
Guilty.
Didn't he slice his hand open trying to cut a frozen bagel?
Yes.
For his breakfast.
Yeah, or for his kids.
That sounds... It sounds stupid trying to cut a frozen bagel. I was slicing a bagel this morning, which
thinking
is
thinking about Ed Slater.
I was thinking, God, I hope I don't mess this up. But mine was just a soft, fresh one, not a rock hard frozen one.
Ooh.
That should go on the. Okay, that.
Wasn't there a hooker that put his hand in a lion cage?
And there was a very religious tight head prop who almost lost a thumb chopping wood.
Oh. No, thank you.
Just a minor correction. Trevor Brennan's son, Daniel Brennan, is 6'4", 130 kg, tight head prop.
For France.
Yeah. France under 20s.
Whoa.
Yeah. There you go.
Okay then.
So let's pick England's team for South Africa.
Yeah, there you go.
Right, so we've got...
Do they have to be in the squad?
Yes.
Why do you have to ruin it?
if you want, I tell you what, if you want, post on Twitter an alternative, like the best squad that you think England could put out.
I need to look up the squad now, because in my head I know who I could win the World Cup.
Okay, so Lucid prop, we're going Mako. There's no debate there.
Right. 100%. Best prop in the world at the moment, Lucid.
And then Jamie George, hooker.
Yep.
Fine, good so far. Tight head prop. Now, this is one of the positions I think is up for debate. The options are Harry Williams.
Or Kyle Sinclair.
Or Kyle Sinclair, because Dan Cole has been left back in Blighty. Resting.
These aren't good options, you know.
Who would you pick against South Africa?
The worrying thing is that Harry Williams hasn't been starting for Exeter.
No.
Harry Williams is fine. Kyle Sinclair is fine.
Well, the fact that I was expecting Harry Williams not to be fit. In some way, but the fact that he's fit and just wasn't picked by Exeter,
not picked ahead of Thomas Francis,
makes me wonder. I don't know. I don't know if there's a fallout if there's a story there, or whether
my problem here is your primary job has got to be to scrimmage. Now they're both good scrimmages, but this is South Africa, and I just wonder if they're going to be found wanting a bit. I mean, Dan Cole is a good scrimmager. Is he best in the world scrimmager? Probably not. These guys, Sinclair definitely isn't a world-class scrimmager. Maybe in that case, then Harry Williams and Sinclair off the bench.
Yeah, I agree. I'll go with that.
Yeah, and Harry Williams did do very, very well against Argentina last summer.
Yes, that's a fair point.
Some of those long scrums were very good.
Lock, we have Maro Itoje. Yes. We have Joe Launchbury. We have Johnny Hill. We have Nick Ezekwe.
Maro and Launchbury.
I think Ezekwe with his shaved head looks bloody nails now.
He does. He looks absolutely nails.
He looks like twice the player that he once was.
Frightening specimen, isn't he?
Johnny Hill is an interesting one. He's done so well for Exeter. I'd like to see him.
Maro and Launchbury? Surely got to be the pair.
They've got to be the two.
100%.
The test match animals.
Ezekwe on the bench.
That tight five is so important for any game against South Africa. If you're not competitive there, the whole thing will fall apart.
I don't want to see the Saracens Maro.
Yes, it seemed well rested. Yes, Maro,
and well, just intelligently deployed.
Yeah, that's a better way of putting it.
And then the back row. Then this is an interesting one. Who are we going with then? So number 8, if fit, Billy Vunipola. If not, Nathan Hughes.
Yeah,
fine. Flankers though.
Now
we have got. We'll go on.
Now, I'm hopeful. So one of the things I didn't like in the Six Nations, the back row didn't feel balanced. You're playing with Maro / Laws as at 6, because one might be wearing 6, but packing down at 5. With Robshaw as an open side, and then Sam Simmons or Nathan Hughes, depending on fitness. It's not that for me. Isn't the right balance. So I would probably start Robshaw at 7. Maybe even start Robshaw at 6. No, I'll take that back. Robshaw at six. Then Simmons at 7 with Billy Vunipola at 8.
Oh, that's interesting.
Mental.
That's interesting.
Has there ever been any game where you watched Sam Simmons and thought, that's the future of 7?
Yeah, lots of games.
No way.
He's got good hands, he can jackal, and he's lightning fast. And athletic. He reminds me of Michael Hooper.
But look, you know, if you want a fast seven, why not play Johnny May there?
His scrummaging leaves a little bit to be desired.
Well, you can work on that, can't you? My thing is, you know, if you're playing eight, it's very different to playing seven in a certain way, even around the park. So we made the point, didn't we, about a few weeks ago about being quick to breakdowns. Being quick to breakdowns isn't the same as being quick across the ground. And I don't think he's going to be that savvy at getting to breakdown in the same way that maybe a Mark Wilson would be. So for that, he's either going to be playing six or he's going to be playing eight. And if he plays six, it's going to be at a huge cost. And if he plays eight, it's going to be at a huge cost because he's not big enough.
So your back row against South Africa?
It has to be Mark Wilson, I think, at seven. I think eight is Billy. After seeing Rob Shaw against the Barbarians, I mean, I'm actually surprised I haven't just said, look, just go home.
You're so reactionary.
Yeah, we're pretty much done here. because it was that bad. Shields needs game time. I've got a feeling they might just go for him. He's a nice new shiny toy. That's what they'll do.
Shields would be interesting because he's not actually playing that well for the Hurricanes at the moment.
No, he's not.
He got his 100th Super Rugby appearance, which is a very, very good achievement.
He's not going to be available for selection for this first match.
I wouldn't have thought so because he played on Saturday, yeah, exactly. So he'll be jetting over there.
I'm already thinking the boys haven't even met him yet.
No.
If they have, it will have been within the last couple of hours that they will have met him for the first time. Yeah.
So, with that in mind, I am going to say that Ezekwe goes in second row and Itoje goes to six. Something like that with Mark Wilson and Billy.
You don't think he's going to pull the trigger on Tom Curry?
Ooh, forgot about Tom Curry. Ooh, yeah, actually. Tom Curry, Mark Wilson and... Tom Curry's class as well.
I'm going Billy, Robshaw, and I don't know how he wants to play, Simmons or Curry.
Yeah, I see that as well.
Wilson.
And I think either of those has much better balance than we saw in the Six Nations.
Oh, you really got me confused now. No, I'm going to put Wilson on the bench. I'm going to go Curry, Vinopola, and Itoje. Ezekwe moves to second row. Because Ezekwe is a beast, and Itoje is a beast, and the more beasts you can get on the field, the better.
Well, there you go. If you disagree, tell us what you think. At Rugby Podcast, you can tweet us and we can continue this conversation. Let's go to the back row then. Halfbacks first off.
Youngs with Robson on the bench.
I was looking through the squad here, right?
That's going to be it, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, have I got the squad right? I don't see Youngs in here.
Yeah. Youngs is in it.
Hmm. Let's have a look. Why can't I even sort the squad either by names or by caps, not by position?
He's got Ben Youngs, Ben Spencer and Dan Robson.
Yeah.
The three scrum half. So I think it will be Ben Youngs and Dan Robson on the bench. Would you start Dan Robson, anyone?
I think Ben Spencer and Dan Robson would be much more exciting.
I wouldn't in a first test against South Africa.
No.
No.
Ben Youngs has got, 60-odd caps under his belt. He'll
Yeah. Give me Youngs and Robson.
It's going to be an intimidating atmosphere, it is. So, and Ben Youngs seems to do well in these at this time of year. He actually turns in performances.
Yeah, he's got a pretty good track record in South Africa.
And then fly half. See, this is another interesting one.
So, Bentio being injured, it messes up my intent with the back line. Because I would love to have Farrell, Tio, Lazowski as my 10, 12, 13. But we know Tio, your next options for 12 are Owen Farrell himself, Lazowski or Henry Slade, or Piers Francis.
Yeah,
none of those feels great.
I feel like my heart rate raising here. I'm just getting a little sweaty. Has anything Piers Francis that he's done so far suggested that he might be an international? Even like.
He scored one good try against the Barbarians.
He did all right against the Barbarians, yeah. But that's against the Barbarians.
They lost by 60 points.
Yeah, I know. No, nothing. And now we're back in the position...
For that reason, it's going to be Ford Farrell.
It probably is, because we're back in the position that I said I didn't want to be, where I wanted to have different options with strike runners like Tio giving some go forward, and we're not going to be in that position.
Right, allow me just to lose my mind for So, I mean, it's such a mixed up squad. You've got three class fly halves with nothing to play around them. I mean, they're just zero options.
Well, it's 12 that's the problem. Because 13, Slade or Lazowski at 13, or Daly at 13, there's three great options for me.
Yeah.
12, Piers Francis, Farrell, Lazowski or Slade, who aren't really 12s. None of those feel great.
Right.
So basically, Farrell's the only like 12 you really would...
Basically. So
you would back in the pressure cooker of South Africa or in a World Cup?
No, I would not back him. Quite the opposite. I mean, he can't play 12. He can't do it. So,
well, what, Warren Gatland and Eddie Jones and Stuart Lancaster.
Well, he did well.
Stuart Lancaster didn't disagree. Stuart Lancaster predominantly played him at 10.
Yeah, Stuart Lancaster almost entirely to our frustration played him at 10 because we wanted to see him there.
Yeah. So Eddie Jones thinks that. Also, Johnny Sexton, who was picking the Lions team, thinks that too. So, I mean, and they're pretty good references, although you might say Johnny Sexton was somewhat conflicted. Now, I actually think if the problem is tackling, and let's not make any bones about it is, Alex Lazowski is a better tackler. Why not move him to 12? That said, I love him at 13. I absolutely love him there.
He's played two games that you've seen.
I've seen lots of games with him at 13. And I've also seen lots of games with him playing in centre and at 10 and tackling well and aggressively. The guy hits and people stay hit.
So I want Lazowski playing, but I want him playing at 13 because that's where I've seen him. Albeit I'm with you, Tim. I've not seen him that much at 13 because he moves around the back line so much because he'll play 10 as the primary option when Farrell's not there. And Barrett and Bosch have been the Saracen centre partnership for years.
Yeah. So Lazowski, to me, looks like it should be Farrell. It should be Lazowski at 12 or 13, preferably both. And then I don't know.
Well, let's get the back three nailed because then we'll know what options we have.
Yes, so, because this causes another problem because I want Elliot Daly to be playing fullback.
I want Jason Woodward to be playing fullback,
but I can't have Elliot Daly playing fullback because I also want Daly playing 13, and I'd quite like him on the wing as well.
So Daly at 13 would mean Lazowski to 12. I could live with that. With Woodward at fullback, Solomona and May.
So I'm going to say Brown. Given the number of other players who are going to be out of position, Brown has got to be 15.
And South Africa are going to kick.
We saw, yeah,
and kick and kick
in the Ireland game when Anthony Watson dropped the ball over his own line at fullback because of a Sexton bomb, where they targeted him in the same way that South Africa will. I want Mike Brown under that.
Yeah. I agree. Mike Brown fullback. So that means, so then it's Johnny May on one wing?
Yeah.
And then it's a choice of whether you want, it would be Daly. Daly's in your team somewhere.
He's probably going to be 13
Nathan
for me.
Nathan Mill's not even in my squad.
So who would be your other winger then, Phil?
It's got to be Denny. Because I wouldn't start Nathan Earle.
No, God no.
I don't.
No, I don't mean like, so yeah, he's...
Yeah, Johnny May and Denny. And with then Daly and probably Lazowski at 12.
With Farrell at 10.
But I can see him reverting to the Ford-Farrell combination.
I think he will, but I actually quite like the sound of that. Farrell,
do you know what,
Lazowski,
do you know
and Daly.
And I'd have Woodward on the bench as well because Daly, he can cover so many positions.
Daly in that 13 just fills me with confidence.
You've been saying for a while, in
that defensive
Do you know who
mold.
You missed?
Who?
Danny Cipriani going as a 15.
True.
But I'm feeling that's gonna. I mean, it's a real mess of a squad.
So he's got a 10 who he's saying could potentially be a 12 or a 15. Danny Cipriani.
Yeah.
He's got Slade, who's a kind of utility player. Piers Francis.
What is Piers Francis? Genuinely, what is he?
He's a 12.
Utility reserve.
Utility reserve.
Wonderful.
You've also got
Henry Slade is a utility reserve.
Lazowski, who is kind of you don't know what one position he is.
Lazowski's utility reserve.
What a mess!
Oh dear,
it doesn't feel right. And because when a centre drops out and you pick a winger / fullback as his replacement, you kind of know that the squad's probably lacking a bit of balance.
Yes,
Jason Woodward comes in for Ben Teo.
Yeah.
They've got Elliot Daly and then three Elliot Daly impressionists.
And yeah, well, you've got Farrell, who has shown some versatility in the backs, and then three Owen Farrell impressions. Maybe four if you count Danny Cipriani as a utility.
Yeah, it's... Look, I hate being right, so...
Do you know what? Eddie Jones said he's going to play more attacking. I'm going to go with Denny on the right wing. Let's go for it. Maverick selection, but when you've got someone so experienced and so good at decision making as Elliot Daly inside, I'm all right with that.
Is he good at decision making? That doesn't strike me as his key.
He's like a nuggety, tough player.
He strikes me as fast and flary.
No, I don't think he is.
And decision-y.
He has that, but I think he's probably the most complete. Owen Farrell and Elliot Daly are the most complete players.
I think Daly is fairly complete. His kicking is excellent as well. His decision making is pretty good.
Is it played at altitude? Because again, Elliot Daly's kicking from like 65 metres.
Joe Berg.
Is that
altitude-y?
Don't know.
It's going to be. Nathan Earle, why is he even on the plane?
I don't know.
Ben Earle.
Yeah, Ben Earle's in there.
Who
I've hardly seen.
I don't understand. With the number of players you have, I don't understand taking people for experience.
Yeah.
How about giving Ollie Woodburn the best players that you've got available and pick a... Ollie Woodburn.
I tell you what, if Woodburn was in that squad, I would definitely be calling for him to start. Because who do you want? If South Africa are going to be putting up a bomb and having 15 enormous men chase you, do you want Denny or do you want Ollie Woodburn under it?
They're just going to stick the bombs on Denny all day if they.
100%. Denny and Johnny May.
Three. What's that?
So then I think he's going to pick Daly. I think he's going to pick Daly. I think as much as he said he's going to go attacking, I think he might end up picking Daly on the wing for that reason.
But then your centres lose balance.
Yeah, exactly.
So the problem I have is it's like a personality problem. Not me personally, although you can hear
it. It has been said.
How does Denny Solomona get on with Eddie Jones? You can't see it being a nice relationship because Jones is very, very harsh. Solomona is excellent at certain things and not so competent at other things.
Yeah.
And it's when, how can you keep certain guys out of the team, like Rocco, or weaknesses nobody knows about, and yet you bring in. Bring in Denny.
Well, yeah, same with Don Armand. The weakness is, I'm sure there's something there that Eddie Jones sees as a weakness. I can't see it myself. Whereas Denny, everyone can tell you his weaknesses.
Yeah.
Absolutely everyone. So,
but at least that's a positive selection. He's gone, I know his weaknesses, but I'm selecting Denny Solomon because he can do things other players can't.
Yeah, but so can Marlon Yard, and so can, there's loads of lads. So, it doesn't make sense. And Nathan Earle makes even less sense.
Yes. So there are some other games this weekend coming up.
Yeah.
So I'll rattle through them.
How do you see the England-South Africa game going?
Oh, yeah. South Africa.
JB's already down as 3-0 South Africa. Yeah. Unfortunately, I am worried. I think South Africa are going to win.
I think certainly this first one, South Africa are going to win. I think 2-1, if it finishes 2-1, it's not the end of the world for England, but they're going to lose the first
England
one.
England might win this first one. They might. And if they do, 2-1 is on the clock.
Do you know what's great? There's games all through the day and evening.
Yep.
Go on.
It's brilliant.
Give me a list of games.
So, shout out the winner from these. Japan-Italy.
Italy.
I think Italy as well.
6:45 a.m. on Saturday.
Perfect.
New Zealand-France.
8:35.
New Zealand. I'd love to see France win.
It's going to be New Zealand.
Yeah.
And it might be a bit of a beatdown. Australia-Ireland. Did you see the headline from Folau?
Oh, I'm looking forward to this. Go on.
He got asked about what he's going to expect from Ireland. He said, I don't really know anything about Ireland. second ranked team in the world. They've won 3 out of the last 5 Six Nations. Grand Slam this year.
I don't really know anything
reigning
about
European
Ireland.
Champions Cup winners in Leinster, reigning Pro 14 winners, and he doesn't know very much about
Even
them.
If that was the case, you think you'd say something like, we're focused on, I'm just focused on what we're doing.
Not.
And just fudge it. Not,
no,
I don't really care.
Don't really know.
You can see how he's got into trouble before, though, can't you?
Not thinking things through.
So that's 11 a.m. I'm going for Ireland.
Rory Best is out, unfortunately.
They'll go in their own lineouts then.
Rory Best is his lineouts for Ireland.
Then you got
phenomenal.
You got a couple of hour window for sunbathing or CrossFit, JB,
CrossFit,
or whatever. Well, before South Africa, England at 4:05. which, as we say, we think is going South Africa's way. And then a little gap to Argentina-Wales.
Lovely.
Which is going to be...
Isn't this the one... I bet you the commentators say that they'll say there is a part of Argentina where everyone speaks Welsh.
Oh, yeah, Patagonia. Yeah. So there's a couple of things that will happen. Patagonia will obviously feature heavily in it. And also, so will some, like, C-list Welsh person who happens to be acting in America. They'll probably roll them out with a really underdoggy Welsh cringe-worthy monologue.
Gabriel Batistuta quite often gets mentioned because he's from a village where they all speak Welsh.
That is true. What was that ridiculous thing which was never true? The last Welsh speaker to score a goal in Wembley or something.
In the old Wembley, yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
The other games, Canada hosts Scotland, which I think Scotland will win.
Scotland will kill them.
Yeah, they will actually. Fiji play Samoa in Suva. Mm-hmm. United States host Russia in Denver.
In the Trump Bowl.
Which is Dick's Sporting Goods Park in Denver.
Love it.
Which is going to be USA, I think. And Tonga play Georgia again in Fiji.
What? Tonga play Georgia
in Fiji.
Fiji.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So awesome.
All we need to do to get to Fiji, because I've looked into this, is we fly out to... We need to go to Atlanta, I believe.
Well, you can go either way. You can go east or west.
We need to go to Atlanta.
Yeah.
And from Atlanta...
We can stop into a joint pod with the American boys.
We then need to go, unfortunately, to LA. or San Fran. And then fly from there over to Australia and go regional then over to Fiji.
The alternative is obviously stop at the Middle East somewhere, then Australia, then Australia
Although
to Fiji.
You could get the 19-hour flight, couldn't you, from...
Heathrow to Perth.
Because that must be easier to go from that way.
Yeah, assuming there's flights from Perth to Fiji, there will be.
My brother went to Fiji with some of the London Irish boys after a season, and they got off the seaplane, or however they arrived, the boat, or whatever, to their little island that they were staying on. And they looked like rugby players, so loads of the locals just came out and were like, let's play rugby. They were desperate to play rugby. And they played a game of rugby on the beach. And you had these massive professional rugby players who couldn't walk at the end of it because the beach is actually, it's like really fine shells.
Ooh.
So they all their feet were cut to shreds.
Like running on Lego bricks.
Yeah, exactly. These Fijian fellas were just laughing at them. So they love their rugby anyway, so yeah, it's got to be done. But
have you seen any of the highlights from Fiji or any of the other teams in the London Sevens this weekend?
No.
Radrada and Tui Sova were playing for Fiji.
The
two Toulon boys. And carving it up. They looked pretty handy.
Right, sorry, I'm just looking for Skyscanner flights now. So I've got Perth to Fiji at 5:00.
Yeah, Tuisova and Radrada, whatever, come on.
And Dan Norton outgassed Carlin Isles. Or I should say outran Carlin Isles.
Really?
Yeah, incredible. Ooh.
When would be good to go to Fiji? When's stuff happening in Fiji?
Well, a Pacific Cup.
There's games this coming weekend.
I think November would be the right time, and then on the way back we can stop at World Player of the Year. Perfect.
November? Fiji will be playing in Europe in November.
Time? Oh, yeah.
Where's World Player of
the Year? Sorry, so when's the Pacific Nations Cup? Is that when the Six Nations
Six Nations, gone? I think.
When's World Player of the Year?
November.
Where is it, sorry?
Monaco.
Oh, it is Monaco again.
Again.
Not going anywhere else. And then the year after that, it's in Japan. It's the day after the World Cup final.
Nice.
So I think I'm going to do 3 weeks out there, come home and go back out for the final.
Wow.
That's one. Depending.
Better sell some more razors then.
Yeah, buy razors.
Anything else? Any more for any more? Any other business?
I think that was it from the...
You've only very briefly mentioned Sale, JB. Do you want to have any more, like, little Sale update?
Nothing really much going on at Sale at the moment. Everyone's on holiday. I'm trying to think if there's any news whatsoever. No, there's none. It's a shame.
Hmm.
We'll try and interview Steve Diamond for the Rugby Dungeon over the summer. But,
good luck.
Yeah, good luck with that. And no sale news.
We haven't heard where Johan Hansi von Rensburg is ending up.
No, but they are looking at... Well, they say they've signed 4 Super Rugby players.
Yeah, one of them, the second row is disputed by the Lions, apparently. I saw that headline.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, they're all South Africans, it sounds like.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't surprise me if they're all from the Lions, because, of course, that's where they will have got their recommendations from. Faf. I'll tell you what is interesting, though. Well, what is interesting is, with Faf going back into the South Africa squad, which shouldn't be underestimated because he's absolutely awesome, I wonder if there'll be a temptation for him to stay in South Africa.
What, for next season?
Maybe not for next season, but it does make me think if he's back involved. You know.
Well, their selection policy is opened up to the world, so it doesn't matter to him.
Cash.
Yeah. The money will be far more appealing than being a bit closer to home.
17-1, the rand to the pound.
Yeah.
17? I think it's more like 20, isn't it?
Well,
it was, it fluctuated last year as when we were out there, as Zuma was firing his finance ministers like confetti. Mm. It was fluctuating between about 16 to 20 something.
Lovely, lovely. Right, I think we're done here.
We are. We've reached hyperinflation. I think we're done. Good luck with your stand up set, JB.
Thank you very much, Timothy.
I'm looking forward to hearing what happens with that.
I'll win it.
Let the boys play.
Let the boys play.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.